Ekachakra?
Yeah, Ekachakra, no. I did stolen the Jews.
Yeah, we said no. Oh.
Radha Madhava
Thank you.
Here Kirno Simama Kileshvara Rajanya Samya Surako Triyutape Nirvyuhamana Nihanishya Sechamo Tvamasya Lokasya Vibhavi Lirakshishu Vatirno Simama Kileshvara Rajanya Samya Surakoti Yutape Nirvyu Hamana Nirashishya Sechamo Tvamasya lokasya vibhauri rakshishur
Tvamasya lokasya vibhauri
rakshishur Grihe vatirno simama kileshvara Rajanya samya surakoti yutape Nirvyuhamana nihanishya sechamo from your lordship asya of this world, lokasya, especially of this martyaloka, the planet Earth, vipo, O Supreme, Rirakshishu, desiring protection from the disturbance of the asuras. Grihe, in this house. Avatirna, Asi, have now appeared. Mama, my. Akila Ishvara, although you are the protector, proprietor of the entire creation. Rajanya Samya Asura, Kotiyuta Paini, with millions of demons and their followers in the roles of politicians and kings. Nirvyu Hamana, which are moving here and there, all over the world. Ahi Nihanishyase will kill. Chamu, the armies, paraphernalia, soldiers and retinues. Translation. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public. Purport. Krishna appears in this world for two purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. To protect the innocent, religious devotees of the Lord, and to annihilate all the uneducated, uncultured asuras, who unnecessarily bark like dogs and fight amongst themselves for political power. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. The Hare Krishna movement is also an incarnation of Krishna, in the form of the holy name, Nama Rupe. Every one of us who is actually afraid of the asuric rulers and politicians must welcome this incarnation of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we will surely be protected from the harassment of asuric rulers. At the present moment, these rulers are so powerful that by hook or by crook, they capture the highest posts in government and harass countless numbers of people on the plea of national security or some emergency. Then again, one asura defeats another asura, but the public continues to suffer. Therefore, the entire world is in a precarious condition, and the only hope is this Hare Krishna movement. Lord Nrisimhadev appeared when Prahlad was excessively harassed by his asuric father. Because of such asuric fathers, that is, the ruling politicians, it is very difficult to press forward the Hare Krishna movement. But because Krishna has now appeared in his holy name through this movement, we can hope that these asuric fathers will be annihilated and the kingdom of God established all over the world. The entire world is now full of many asuras in the guise of politicians, gurus, sadhus, yogis, now full of many yogis and incarnations. And they are misleading the general public away from Krishna consciousness, which can offer true benefit to human society. So, here, at the time when Krishna appeared, and then also again we see now in the present time, then you have the same difficult situation where the demoniac persons, then they take charge of the leadership of the world and then they do whatever they like, harassing, everybody else, basically. the history of the this time when Krishna was present was that the demons, then they went forth with Sukracharya, and they fought with the demigods. And because at that time the demigods didn't have the Sanjeevani mantra, so then the demons, after being killed in battle, would be revived by the Sanjeevani mantra, and they would come back to fight again. So the demigods couldn't keep up with the demons. So the demons won. Then the demigods decided that they had to get this mantra. So then they sent Brihaspati's son, who then became a disciple of Sukracharya. And being, you know, a proper Brahmin, he accepted him and he was trained by him. In the process, somehow or another, he gained the Sanjeevani mantra and took it back to the demigods. And then the demigods, also having the mantra, they could revive themselves who had been killed also. So now the Asuras couldn't defeat them. So being frustrated in their attempt, then they all came and took birth on the earth planet in various species of life, and started to harass and control everything here. So then, this was then increasing to the point, at this time when Krishna came, where there were so many demoniac kings who were oppressing the people and doing whatever they liked. So then, there was a need of Krishna coming. And then he came to perform his pastimes. They had the battle of Kurukshetra, and then all these demoniac forces were removed from the earth. And then the devotees, the Pandavas and others, then they were then again properly situated. So now in this age, then again the demons have taken the positions of the leaders in this, and they perform things how they like. It means against the Vedic principles. Because the Vedic principles are designed to create a harmonious environment in the creation. The Lord designed the system so that everybody in the system would have a place, and by the performance of their duties, then everything would go very smoothly for them. And the world would be, you know, the interactions, everything would work properly. But the demons, because then it's not so for them necessarily tasty to act in this way, they want more than they deserve, so they go beyond or outside the Vedic cultural directions and try to control and enjoy what is not theirs to control and enjoy. So then the common person becomes harassed. So then the Lord has appeared in the form of the holy name. And in this form, then he has come to save everyone. So now this time, the manifestation is different. Previous ages, then Krishna would come and physically kill the demons. You know, they were out on the battlefield, and Krishna would come on the battlefield, and they would be annihilated by his, you know, arrangements in some wonderful pastime. But in this age, because then that would require killing everybody, then he's taken a slightly different approach. Right? We see that in the Satya Yuga, that the demons lived in different planetary systems, right? The demons are in the lower planets and the demigods in the higher planets. So then, you know, it's very obvious who's who. So you have your demigods and you have your demons. In the Treta Yuga, then we see that they lived in different continents, right? Means the pious people lived in India and Ravana and his crew lived in Lanka. Then in the Dwapara Yuga, then they lived in different families. So you had the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And then those who supported the Kauravas were the demons, those who supported the Pandavas were the devas. And in the Kali Yuga, then the demons and the devotees live in the same body. Right? So then, the systems worked in the other ages won't work. It means you kill the demons, leave the devotees, because the problem is the body is commonly shared between the devotee and demon. So then in this age, one has to kill the demoniac mentality. So this is a very key point, is that Prabhupada's saying, by chanting, then we will surely be protected. So how is that? Means that one cannot bother somebody if they are not susceptible to being bothered. Right? This is a very essential point, is that one is disturbed because one actually leaves himself open to be disturbed, or wants to be disturbed. Otherwise, one is not disturbed, not at least for yourself. It means one's only disturbed, really, if it's a disturbance to yourself. Right? If it's a disturbance for Krishna, disturbance for, you know, the devotees, for the movement, for the mission, then that's not actually disturbance. That's actually proper rasa. But when it's our own particular personal disturbance, because of our own particular needs, then that disturbance is mundane and we are bothered. So that is because of the demoniac mentality. Because the demoniac mentality is, I should enjoy, I should be in control, I should enjoy. And if we actually look very carefully at anything that we're really disturbed by, then it's because we can't get control. Or our control is then thwarted or removed or threatened. And therefore, our enjoyment will be threatened. Our facilities, or whatever it is that we have gained from this control. Right? It's a simple thing. You know, it doesn't need to be big political. It's even a simple thing. You have two kids, right? They have their prasad on their plate. They both have a sweet on their plate. So in the mind of the person sitting in front of the plate, he's the lord of that plate. He's in control of that plate. Whatever's on that plate is his right to enjoy. Right? Now if the kid next to him reaches over, steals a sweet and pops it in his mouth, he's very frustrated. Right? Because he's lost control of his plate. Right? His control over that plate is now threatened. Anything on his plate is now open to be removed by the voice sitting next to him. Right? Not only that, is because it's been removed, his enjoyment has been reduced. Right? It means now his sweet has disappeared, and the other person who gained control has enjoyed it. Right? So, therefore, between this and actual what we think is political control, everything in between works on the same principle. So, this is manana, or contemplation. How to apply this in our lives. Whenever an anxiety comes up, then one should check. What has caused this anxiety? What control have we lost? What enjoyment are we feeling threatened? Right? So this is the demoniac mentality. Because in the spiritual mentality, we're surrendered to Krishna. Whatever he wants, that's how it's going to go. And we accept that. So we see with Kalad Maharaj, Krishna allowed his demoniac father to harass him. But it wasn't a harassment for Kalad. Because he did not allow himself to be threatened by this. He didn't feel that my control over my body or situation is threatened, my enjoyment is threatened. No, he went on and was Krishna conscious in those situations. So he was unaffected. He just chanted Hare Krishna. So, you know, one may say, well, that's Prahlad Maharaj, and then the reality is something different. But no, that's already been discussed in the previous verses, that this is the thought of the demoniac mentality. Is the demoniac mentality thinks the material world and what it has to offer in the way of sense gratification or seeming is valuable. It actually has substance. It's worth fighting for, right? You know, I'd rather fight than switch, right? It's worth it. But the sages and those who are God conscious know it's not. What comes and within the realm of your service then is used in your service, is enjoyed by us in the service, then it comes when it comes. If it doesn't come, we don't worry about it. So things can move through by the Lord's arrangement, but we are not disturbed. So this is the devotee. And the demon is that I am disturbed by this. So this is something that we have to contemplate very carefully, because this is a very crucial point to actually coming into the stage of advanced devotional service. Advanced devotional service basically begins with this point that I am not the controller and enjoyer. I am simply the servant. Because the identity is clear. Therefore, that's called pure devotional service. I'm not the controller, that's jnan, and I'm not the enjoyer, that's karma. Right? Jnana karma jnanavaditam. It doesn't have karma or jnan. Karma is, jnan is the desire to control. I am the Lord. I am the controller. Right? I am the one. Right? No one else. That's envy. So that is jnana. Right? The jnanis are envious, that's the definition. They're envious of the Lord, they're envious of their own soul. So that means everything between the Lord and themselves, they're envious of. They may cover it by some nice culture, some nice words, speak gently, you know, draw out their essence very long, like this. Something they'll do to make it very nice. You know? But it's the demoniac nature of envy. That's control. And then the karmi, he is the enjoyer. Right? So that's why these two are always mentioned. That devotional service is freed from karma jnana. Always, again and again. Because this is the essence of this problem. So if we can catch this, then one can do much to elevate oneself by always trying to keep our own inherent nature to control and enjoy for our own purposes and not to serve Krishna. And we have to be very, very honest with ourselves, because of course, by various perspectives, you can take anything and turn it around, right? This is a bewilderment many times for devotees these days, that they tend to not even trust the Shastras or even trust what Prabhupada says. Why? Because someone can take it and present it from two opposing sides. So therefore, these scriptures don't remain as an authority to them. And so then what does that leave you with? Because we're proud, because we're imbued with the demoniac quality, therefore, my own mind, what it says is good and bad, is the authority. And that changes from moment to moment. So it's not a prosperous or a good position, right? Because the mind is always changing. The mind doesn't have any discrimination, right? The intelligence has some discrimination, but in this scenario, it's controlled by the mind. So then the difficulty comes, is then, what is one's authority, other than one's own sentiments and desires? So that brings it back again, down to enjoy it. And to enjoy, you have to control. So even if someone is saying, you know, very nice, sweet, sentimental things, oh, you have to care, you have to be sensitive, you have to be individual, this is all so they will be happy and enjoy. But you can't be happy and enjoy unless you control. So you say these same people who are speaking all these nice, sweet, caring things, you'll find them to be many times the most political and untrustworthy people. If one analyzes them. Because you can't be nice and lovey-dovey unless you're in control. A mother can be very lovey-dovey with her kid if she's in control of the kid. If the kid's running around wild and doesn't care for the mother, how does she express those sentiments? So she actually has to be able to be in disciplinary control of her child so that she can actually exchange with the child. So the two go together. But, of course, what happens is one takes one side and another takes another. And they start this, dichotomy? What's the one with it? Opposing? Dichotomy. That there's two opposing. No, the two are the same thing. You have a glass and you have water. Are they opposing elements? One's hard, like anything, and, you know, so shiny and, you know, cold, and the other one is so, you know, soft and malleable, and you can't drink your glass of water, you know. I mean, you can't have water without a glass. The glass has no meaning without the water. The two go together. So control and enjoyment go together. So if you see one, you know the other is there. If someone says that was very political or very, then you know there must be something you're trying to enjoy behind it. If someone says, oh, that's just, you know, Maya, that's just sense gratification, then you know there's some control behind it. So one has to know the enemy, right? That's the demoniac nature. So one has to know how it works, how to catch it. So one has to analyze. This is the meaning. The devotee is thoughtful. Manisha. They are thoughtful. So they go into these things and they analyze how is it that Maya is working? How is she working? Because she's very subtle. She's expert, right? It means it's said that if you do something for 10,000 hours, you become expert at it. Right? Now if we analyze, even with us, Maya's been, you know, tricking us for more than 10,000 hours. Right? You multiply that by the unlimited living entities that are here, and then multiply that times eternity. So she's quite good, right? She knows exactly how to get the point in that you don't even know. You very happily become defeated, right? She's so expert. And she's so expert, she's beyond having to prove herself that she has to be able to be in your face and laugh at you, that I'm the one that did it. Right? Little kids like to do that, you know. Or you like that. The demoniac like to do that. They like to let you know that they're the one. Right? Because then they get the credit, they get the pride. But, you know, she's beyond that. You know, she just is in control. She doesn't have to prove it. So therefore, she'll trick you very subtly. You won't even know it. She won't even show her face. But if you look, then you can see. So we have to be very, very careful to see that this Hare Krishna mantra, this movement of chanting, this is the real thing. This is the solution. There is not another solution. There's nothing outside. Outside is the demoniac mentality. Demons, they like to have nice interactions, so they can be very pleasant. But what is their purpose? That is their own purpose. They're not caring for you. The man is polite to everyone on the street because he doesn't know who they are, so he doesn't want to offend anyone that could get him back. And if he has anything that he wants to get done, he wants to have a good relationship so he can get it done. Therefore, people who are really demoniac are generally quite pleasant. If they're uncultured, that's another thing. But they can speak very sweetly, very nicely, because they know that's how it gets done. That's all. You smile, you're nice, you get anything done. Anyone who's smart knows that. And people who are not smart, they fall for it. Therefore, sometimes it is seen. It'll be said, oh, the people outside are so nice, and the people in the movement aren't so nice. It's because the people outside are freely exercising their demoniac nature to be the controller and enjoyer. And they don't want an unpleasant situation. You can't enjoy like that. So they're nice. But of what value are they? Of what can they do for you? You know, if pleasantness is the goal, then what happened to developing love for Krishna? You know, we just want pleasant. So is that, we just want to go to the spiritual world because everybody there is nice, that's it? Or do we want to go and do something positive for Krishna? Is our goal bigger than ourselves? So therefore, in the movement, are people who are wrestling with this divine and demoniac nature. And sometimes they make mistakes. They've dropped that external pleasantries of just being nice just because that's how you make things work nicely. They shouldn't drop it, but it's a natural thing. Any person who's untrained will drop it. One may say what one likes, but you just have no petrol in America. People will actually shoot each other over the gasoline. It's happened. People are waiting in line to get their gasoline in the station. They're very annoyed because they never have to wait for nothing. Whatever you want is there immediately. But now they have to wait in line. Somebody has an emergency, he's got to take his wife to the hospital or something, you know, actual emergency, he pulls into the front of the line. Somebody gets out of his car out of frustration, goes up there and shoots the guy. I'm not making this up. This is your wonderful, pleasant, nicer than the devotee karma. It's only because their buttons haven't been pushed. That's all. So somebody has to be a fool to think that those who are not devotees are better than the devotees. Only a demon can say this. And I can say this very confidentially. I'm confident. It's the demoniac mentality only that can think that demons are better than devotees. Think about it. What is their purpose? So now we can see is that these nice demons will give up their niceness if it goes wrong for them. They get nasty. So this is the common platform of the untrained person. The untrained person has this defect that if something doesn't give you a meat profit, you don't want to do it. Right? So Krishna has to spend a lot of time discussing this in the Gita, that though you're not doing your activities for your own personal sense gratification, you still do those duties because they are pleasing to the Lord. That is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. So that's the Naishkarmya that Narad Muni preaches. Krishna preaches it in the Gita. Krishna preaches it to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, the 12th canto. So this theme comes up and up again, is that even though you're not going to get any material benefit from this, still you do it because it is pleasing to the Lord. This is the process. But the natural thing is, if you don't get any, see any profit, you'll drop it. That's our habit from time immemorial. People are practical. They only want to do something that gets a result. If it doesn't get the result you want, you drop it. It's a natural thing. So therefore, what's happened is devotees don't see any profit from mundane pleasantries. So they drop it. And they deal with each other nastily, you know, in an unpleasant way. Because they don't, it's artificial. That's okay, that as a first stage. But actually, if one wants to mature, then one sees, no, one has to follow the culture and etiquette because it's pleasing to Krishna. Because these are Krishna's devotees. So it's not artificial. I may be unpracticed in real devotional transcendental pleasantries, but that doesn't mean I don't practice it. That's sadhana bhakti. So even though I may not be getting benefit from it, seemingly, but it pleases Krishna and it pleases the devotees. Therefore, I follow the culture. So we can see is actually this unpleasant dealings is a natural fault. And the devotees and the karmis make the same mistake. It's not that it's something just the devotees. No, the devotees are in the fire. So in the fire it's more intense. So they have this, that they're dealing with and struggling with the demoniac nature and trying to conquer it by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So therefore one has to understand this. If one feels that one is better and one is special, then be better and special, meaning be more advanced. Understand this. Not become disturbed yourself. Right? The mother is not disturbed by the child because they don't know how to, you know, go to the toilet and clean up after themselves or how to cook or eat properly. No. The mother takes care, takes pleasure in helping, in training, in guiding. So if one is better, then be better. Then be kind to the others. But if one's betterness is simply one can point out a fault, what is so special about that? What's the speciality? Anyone, you go to the streets in New York, anyone, they've never seen you before. They can find a fault in you in a moment. And they can say it in the cleverest one-liner that you've ever heard. So what? There's 15 million of them. And that's just sitting on one little island. Right? So what? Is that special? The dogs. You're just walking. You have nothing to do with the dog. He starts barking at you. He's found some fault. Right? Like that. You go outside the front gate. I can guarantee you, all those people running those shops can go on for hours about this con. Things you've never even dreamed of, they can say. So finding fault is not something special. It's just a manifestation of the desire to control. I can find fault, therefore I'm in control, because I'm better. So it's just another manifestation of this envy. Right? Fault means you discriminate. That's intelligence. Right? So it's within the path of jnana. Jnana means find fault with the material world, and therefore take the spiritual. But the impersonalists do it for their own purposes. They're still envious of God because they ignore Him. Right? So it's still nothing special. It's still just a mundane quality that actually everybody else has. Maybe you're better at the one-liners than the other guy. You know? You can stay up later at night and talk more stuff with your friends. But that doesn't mean that we've solved the problems of the universe or worked it all out. You know, I've seen it. It's the standard thing. You know, brahmacharis sit around leaning on the railing of the veranda, you know, and talk till 11 o'clock at night. Work out all the problems of the movement. Right? You know, it's like every night they do it. You know, these guys, why can't they understand? Just do this, just do that. Great. Then the next morning, everything's back to normal. Right? Nothing changed. you know. But it gives a feeling of superiority. Why? Because this is the demoniac nature, the need to control. So then one has to look at this very, very carefully, you know, very, very, how to say, deeply, to see what are the paths through which Maya has tricked us. Due to our particular unique conditioned nature, what it is that, how we want to control and how we want to enjoy and how we combine these, what are the methods we'll use. And then seeing this, then we can start to be unaffected by the material energy. By chanting, then that will give us that strength, that will purify us, by taking shelter of the devotees, the acharyas of this mission. We'll gain that strength, that inspiration. And then we will slowly, slowly give up this desire and need to control and enjoy the material energy. Then we can qualify to go back to Dharma. So that's, you should... Any questions or comments on this? Yes.
Early in the morning, I thought about something that I think Rupa Goswami has said, that somebody comes to the point of being interested in a kind of listening for spiritual practices and everything, when he's exhausted with material desires.
Mm-hmm.
So that you said something which is connected to that we should be, I mean, there is many people that they don't, and there are many people outside that perhaps they are ready for
So the point was is that this morning he was thinking about this point that Rupa Goswami makes, is that the devotee is a kinchana gochar, free from the material needs or desires. So then we can see is that there are many people in the world who are, you know, have come or coming to that point. You know, they're frustrated with their desires, this and that. So therefore it's very important that the mission is strong, it's united, moves forward, because then you can give the opportunity for those who are, you know, frustrated. You have to catch them at that moment, because they've been here so long, they've been frustrated since the beginning, every life. But then you have to catch them when they're actually manifesting that. So if it's, we're available, they know the devotees, they hear the holy name, they see the festivals, the programs, they get the books. Then when those moments come up, then the devotees will be the tools or the medium through which Krishna can catch them. And for ourselves, then also to see that one has to distinguish between the ultimate need of going back to Godhead and those needs of taking care of the conditioned nature. In other words, taking care of the body. Body, family, whatever is one's conditioned obligations. That by distinguishing this, then you try to maximize the eternal need of developing love for Krishna and minimize to what is just necessary to get things done, you know, on the material platform. If one can do that, life becomes much easier. Because to work for something that you don't really require is a waste of time. Right? It's very, very hard, especially in the Grihastha ashram, or especially when one's doing administration and things. They're very absorbing activities. You know, it's not like the life that you're all fully absorbed in doing puja or teaching or preaching, where your, whatever it means, your occupation is transcendental. With the other, you're dealing with elements that are spiritualized, but they themselves aren't naturally spiritual. So therefore, you don't want to waste your time because it's so absorbing. They take up a lot of time and leave very little for sadhana, association, reading, and you know, all these things. So one doesn't want to be distracted by desire that's unnecessary and waste one's time. So one has to be very, very clear and analyze, okay, what do I actually need? Why do I need it? You know? And then if it's necessary, then endeavor for it. You know? In a way that is pleasing to Krishna. And but if not, why endeavor? Just because we want to be in control or enjoy, it's not good enough. Because we're only going to control and enjoy how much we're supposed to anyway. You work more or you work less, you're still only going to get the same amount. Right? So therefore, you do what is only necessary for the material self. And then one is satisfied. So one can see is then why that Akinchana Gotra, because you've made that. It doesn't mean that one is not living in a family situation. It means that one sees that the family is not one's ultimate happiness. But since the need is there, you take care of it how much it must be taken care of. And then one puts one's actual values on Krishna consciousness. This person advances. This person becomes dynamic in their Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda says, Grihe Kako Mani Kako, Sadahari Bodhi Kako. Means everyone, whether you're in the forest or you're in the house, you just chant Hare Krishna. Make that your focus. You know, it's not the trouble. The trouble is not the environment you're in. The trouble is your attachments within that environment. Right? The unnecessary endeavors and desires. Unnecessary goals. Right? That's what's unnecessary. But it doesn't matter what's the situation. Therefore, it doesn't matter. The spiritual opportunity is to become Krishna conscious is the same for everyone. It's just a matter of becoming Krishna conscious. Yes, ma'am. Who should be our role models? Who are our role models? Huh? Oh, in following Edan culture, who are our role models? The tradition, I mean, the general role models for everyone are those who are given in the scriptures. Those in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, any of the histories given by the acharyas and that are, you know, appropriate for our, I say, situation. Meaning the principle is always appropriate, but you have to find the particular detail of application. And then, of course, then we ourselves will have those persons that we are inspired by, that we are, you know, that we feel are seriously making an endeavor that, and their conditioned nature is similar to ours that we can take advantage of or example from, then we add that to the standard role models. Does that make sense? Means within our experience, those persons that we can gain from, like that, as devotees or, you know, any situation, you can learn from anybody. As we see in the 11th canto, Krishna describes the sadhu who had 22 gurus. Right? And most of them weren't humans. He learned from the bees, learned from all different living entities. Some quality that they had that was valuable for Krishna consciousness. You know, it can even, Krishna at the end of that says, even our own body can be guru. We can see how it acts, how, you know, just how it's controlled by the modes and, you know, the way it works so that we can learn that we don't become too absorbed in these things. We become detached. Is that okay? Yes. What is the relationship between husband and wife in the spiritual world? Depends upon which environment of the spiritual world. In Vaikuntha, basically they are very intimate friends that basically discuss, when they're together, just discuss Krishna consciousness, discuss the Lord, his pastimes, and all that. Because it creates a very nice, opulent environment. The environment of rules and regulations is perfect for the Grihastha Ashram. And because the Grihastha Ashram, because of its greater sphere of contradictory elements, it requires more regulation to harmonize everything. So in Vaikuntha sense, prosperity, rules and regulations, opulence are the flavor. Therefore, we see that basically all the residents of Vaikuntha are all married. So it creates a very nice atmosphere in which that can be, the Lord can taste these pastimes. So when they're together, then they discuss Krishna consciousness and all that. And when they're with the Lord, then they generally go in their separate ways and do their various services according to their position. Say, I can't hear it. Love for husband, love for wife, it's my... No, it's the natural attraction of the energies. Like that, is that the masculine energy needs the feminine energy. They're just two halves of the same thing. So that affection, that attachment is the natural element. Now, one has to know what is the path of that attachment. That is the rules and regulations. The path of attachment won't work how we think it should. There may be a spontaneous attraction, but that's not enough to operate it. It has to be run through the path, because God's made this attachment. So he says it works like this. Because the man's angle and the woman's angle on the attraction attachment is actually 180 degrees from each other. But because they match, right? They have a point where they touch, but as you move it 1 degree to the next, that place where it touches moves. And may be opposite. Right? So unless you know what the scriptures and the traditions say, there's not a snowball's chance in hell you'll ever figure it out. Never. You know what I'm saying? So therefore you have to follow the Lord's method for that. And then one has to decide what's your goal. Is that attachment your goal? Because if it is your goal, goals should be long term. If one's intelligent, one makes a goal that one can always have. And the problem is the particular attachment or love for the present, associates, it will end with the body maximum. That's the longest you can keep it. So therefore, it can't be actually considered a goal. It can only be a means. So our goal has to be Krishna and that love for Krishna. That is eternal. After this body, not like how you would know it. Means those who are within the Krishna conscious movement will be together in the spiritual world. But not necessarily as husband and wife, and even if they are, it won't be the same flavor. It doesn't have the mundane, knot of lust. That's actually the bind, is the lust. Because it's a transformation of the love for Krishna. So that what people talk about is, you know, they don't know or they don't understand, that's called lust. Right? You know, like the adults, the mature adults that are more lusty and more gross, then they always talk about the kids, the adolescents,
they don't actually have love. That's, they call it puppy love. It's just some light thing. No, that's actually closer to the original. And the adult, it seems deeper and more important because it's just a deeper manifestation of lust. So it grabs the heart harder. And so therefore it's called something more, you know, special. So that's the problem, is all these things are reversed. That's why unless we hear from authority, we can't figure it out. We just get bewildered. So the relationships that you have, you engage them in the Lord's service according to the directions that are there by doing it to please Krishna. We will be purified of all the inebrieties that are there connected with it. And we will be therefore free to develop our love for Krishna. So that's the purpose. Okay, this last point. How we're supposed to react if a pure devotee acts in such a way we're disturbed by it. What should we do? Basically just ignore it. If you can change the person, go ahead. Then if you can't, what are you going to do about it anyway? Why become disturbed? Because the point is, until you come to the platform of prema, then anyone below that point, basically, can become, get off track. So pure devotee means that their determination is pure. It doesn't mean that it can't be distracted like that. So if it happens, then we just take advantage of it, find out what they did wrong that distracted them, and avoid it. You know, it's like if you're in a trench and the general pokes his head up to see what's the enemy doing and gets his head blown off, then the private standing next to him knows, don't stick your head up. But he doesn't go as, how can they blow the head of the general? How can that happen? It's not possible. You know, I mean, how can this war go on? We can't do this anymore. It doesn't work. That's just an excuse to get into Maya ourselves. Point is, Maya doesn't discriminate between an advanced devotee and a neophyte. She checks everybody. That's her business. When you come to prema, then she herself goes, when you come to that point where you're ready for it, she herself goes to the Lord and says, I've checked this devotee on every level, on every aspect, they're not interested at all. Will you please bless them with prema? That's her job. So therefore, one should not become, Prabhupada said, don't be amazed or bewildered by who leaves. Be amazed at who stays. Right? So this whole thing to become bewildered that a senior devotee falls down so therefore no one can do it, that's just Maya's trick. Those people that say that are in Maya. It's not intelligence, that's just Maya. I mean, like this, if you're a practical person, would you take up a strategy that you have to go to 1,000 people and somehow or another find a trick to get each one of them one at a time into Maya? Right? Or would it be an easier strategy that you know that all these people are connected to one, I get the one, all 1,000 are in Maya? Which is the better strategy? Right? So therefore, she's smart. So now, do we want to fall for her tricks? Or do we want to be independent? Independence means Krishna consciousness. To be in Maya, everybody's in Maya. Big deal. You know? No big deal. Nothing special. Prabhupada said to Guru Kripa, said just another face in the crowd. That's all. He just said another face in the crowd. That's all. It doesn't matter. Everybody's face will be famous for 15 minutes, right? And then after that it fades into oblivion with all the other faces. So that's the thing. Real independence, real intelligence is to see how Maya works and not be bewildered by it. And be impressed and inspired by those who have avoided Maya. Right? Say what you like. They're here. Right? Whatever criticism one may have about the devotees, they're here. Right? Does that make sense? So that's, one should be impressed by that. What are they doing that they're still here? Rather than find the faults. Maya's already finding the faults, so it's nothing, we're not adding any service to Krishna or any pleasure to Krishna by finding the faults. You know? Like that. But if we can find what's good, what it is that they're here, why they're in the Dham, right? How is it these people are here in the Dham? That's special. Find that. Be inspired by that. So we'll end here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadhika Bhakti Vendi ki, Nanyatai Gaurapenanam ki.